And our community connection on 1400 brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church and also by Tall Grass Motors. And several guests in the studio, two-thirds of them are elected officials. One is former Earl Sears. Start me off. Good morning, sir.
Charlie, thank you once again for allowing us to be on the radio show. We are delighted, Senator Ford and I are, to have Lieutenant Governor Lamb here in Bartlesville today. The good people of our area know he is running for governor, and he's here to not only in the official capacity of Lieutenant Governor, but also spread the message of his campaign. And we both are very delighted to have him and very supportive of him and endorsing him in regards to the governor, the next governor of our great state. But we really appreciate you having him here today, and I want to hand it over to Senator Ford and let him introduce our guest here today. They're both our near and dear friends and started their legislative career in the Senate together. Senator Ford?
And Earl, thanks.
And yeah.
Charlie,
yes,
thank
sir.
You. Greatest title in the world is former senator, although I do miss on Fridays during session not being here.
Well, I don't want to speak for Senator Daniels, but I think you'd be welcome if you chose to come in.
Nah, that's all right. Anyway, I'm so glad that Todd Lamb is with us today. He has been to Bartlesville over the last 11 years that he's been lieutenant governor so many times, and I think what's important, I first met Todd in 2004 when he and I were elected to the state Senate together. I sat right behind him on the floor of the Senate. And that's when I developed initially my respect for him and his abilities. And what I think is good is that Todd gets out all 77 counties every year, but let people get an opportunity to see who he really is and what he really does. And that's what we're doing today. I know Todd has a monthly show on with you out of here in Bartlesville today at 10 o'clock. If anyone would like to visit more with him, he's going to be at the Arvest Friday Forum. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, we're in the Osage Room at Tri-County, where Todd's going to have a community forum. And just want to listen from the citizens of Bartlesville in this area, what's important to all of us, and let him take that back. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you and Todd.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that introduction. And for the second time this month on the air, good morning, Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb. Thank you very much for coming in.
Charlie, thank you. It's great to be with you again. Great to talk to you again. As it's already been said, you and I chat every month.
Sure.
Always great to visit with you. I've been in studio, as I am today, many times.
Yes, you
have. But not always. Usually we're chatting over the phone, which you're kind of let me call in and do to give a state update and what I'm up to and what's going on in the state of Oklahoma. But it's great to be with you face-to-face, person-to-person. I want to thank Earl Sears and John Ford for their friendship, their commitment, not just to Bartlesville, Northeast Oklahoma, and the state of Oklahoma, but I want to thank them for their real sincere friendship. You know, we've talked about this before, but Earl Sears gives me a lot of duties and responsibilities, one of which is to make sure the dandelions are pulled. So last night I'm pulling into town late on my way to John and Mary Ford's Bed and Breakfast.
Yes.
It's a great rate. It's a great getaway, a great rate to stay at John and
it's
Mary Ford's Bed and Breakfast.
It's an unpublicized rate, apparently. But, yeah.
But so I send Earl Sears a text last night. I said, just past Earl Sears Park. I sent this to Earl Sears last night, texted him, and I said, I checked for squatters, vandals, and hoodlums. Nothing to report. All clear and park is clean.
Well, if you did find some
hoodlums. I have duties while I'm here, Charlie. Yeah, yep. There are things I have to do.
Well, I understand that. I will just make sure that, you know, if you did find some hoodlums, you could make that report anonymously, 918-336-CLUE. Happen to get your calls to Crime Stoppers.
Crime Stoppers.
Yeah.
Crime Stoppers.
We have our Law Enforcement Appreciation Night tonight at the Hilton Garden Inn, and I know you're a busy guy, but if you were in town and had no other commitments, you would certainly be welcome.
Well, you know, I would love to be there, and I want to talk about my law enforcement background a little bit as we talk about some substance here in a moment. But because of our friendship and our relationship, you invited me to the Crime Stoppers event down in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, we were reminiscing about that, and Crime Stoppers Network, Crime Stoppers USA, is a very important component in battling crime. So I just want to take a moment and thank you again for your service and your commitment in that arena.
Well, it's a job that I signed up for willingly, and it's a wonderful organization to be part of, just because it gives people thanks to Earl Sears and John Ford and Steve Martin, by the way, for passing a Crime Stoppers bill a few years ago in the state legislature that exempts Crime Stoppers reports from subpoena. If it gets that far, it would have to be in judges' chambers. But thank you again for your support for our organization. You were probably in the Senate at the time that bill passed.
That's right, I was.
Let's talk a little bit about your visit to Bartlesville today. You are running for the office of governor.
That's That's right, I am.
And so you're out talking to people about your ambitions, your goals for the state of Oklahoma.
I am. And just right off, let me say, if anybody has any questions about me, about my background, about my vision, they can go to our website at votetoddland.com.
But we know about your service as Lieutenant Governor, but again, former Secret Service, you've done a lot of other things.
That was one of the impetus and convictions I had in running for governor. When people find out about my Secret Service background, they ask me a lot of things. Well, they say, well, tell us a story. Tell us a story. You know, they want a story that's book worthy or something like that.
You apparently didn't throw yourself on a bomb. Thank you very much.
And then they say, some people often ask me, what did you learn in the Secret Service? Here's what I learned. It was required of me, ingrained in me, that I had to have a detailed plan with every assignment I had, protection of the president, criminal investigations, whatever I did, I had to have a written plan. It was required of me to have a contingency backup plan. Everywhere I went, everything I did. So that's highlighted by an anecdote I'll share. The first foreign assignment I had with the President of the United States was in Central America, in the country of Guatemala. And I was a side agent at that visit, and I had my responsibilities, my duties, one of which was when Air Force One went wheels down in Guatemala, they radioed to my earpiece, what's the SIT report? SIT report is situation report, which means what's the press, what's the public, how many protesters? Well, Charlie, right before Air Force One went wheels down in Guatemala, protesters were growing in size. A riot broke out. They were burning the American flag, had bats, had sticks. We were outnumbered. So I called the Guatemalan State Police for backup. I heard sirens in the distance. They were getting closer and closer. I started to feel relieved as these protesters were growing a little more violent. Police cars pulled up. The protesters ran to the police cars, bashed the cars with their sticks and their bats, continued to burn the American flag. The police cars took off. We're left there as Secret Service agents on foreign soil. That was the first time in my Secret Service career I recounted the bullets on my waist, because I thought that was the day I'd have to testify later before Congress on me having to, you know, engage my weapon to protect the president. Well, here's what we did as Secret Service agents. We not only enacted the plan, but we enacted part of the contingency plan. And we made sure the president was safe for his arrival. We had to arrest some people. We had to close an entrance. But we conducted and stayed according to the plan, and we stayed firm. And that really leads to part of the message I have as a candidate for governor. I'm a proven conservative leader that stood firm throughout my career in the Secret Service, in the state Senate. Led the first override of a governor's veto in 14 years on a conservative bill that was bipartisan. And even recently, Charlie, I stood up to a governor of my own party on tax increases. And I said, no, we don't need to do that.
And basically resigned from that particular council is in the process.
Yeah, I served in the governor's cabinet as a small business advocate. According to the Small Business Administration, over 97% of all our employers in Oklahoma are small business employers. Mm-hmm. And when there was a proposal this past legislative session to increase tax on 164 services not currently being taxed, I said no. We do not need to raise taxes on Oklahomans, particularly those small businesses and those services like babysitting, tanning salons, et cetera, et cetera. That's not where we need to go as a state. So I stood firm. I resigned from the cabinet. And in recent history, I don't know another lieutenant governor that's ever done that. So I'll speak truth to power, stand firm, and continue to be the proven conservative leader I have been in my past.
So it sounds as though one of your goals as a governor would be to reform Oklahoma government then.
This is what I want to do as governor, Charlie. I want to renew our state, R-E-N-E-W, reform and structure state government, starting with a legislative process, a priority of education, particularly common education. My wife's a classroom teacher. Teachers need a pay raise. We also need additional rigor in the classroom. We're remediating 40% of all our high school graduates. That's unacceptable. The N, R-E-N-E-W, the N piece of our agenda, the N part of our platform. Neighborhoods are where our families live. So that's the core function of government, infrastructure, making sure our citizens are well protected by our police and statewide law enforcement communities. The second E in renew is economic diversity. You know, if time and time again, when Oklahoma's experienced this dip in commodity prices and the hydrocarbons, state officials, many of them on a statewide level, have talked about diversifying our economy, but there has not been a detailed written plan to diversify our economy. Just this past Monday, again, as a proven conservative leader and not rhetoric, I announced the statewide panel I have of men and women from across the state that are small business manufacturers that are diversifying our economy already. And to incubate that process and have some organic growth and show how we can have organic growth to diversify the economy. So R-E-N-E, and the last is W in renew, that's work. If Oklahoma was a business, Oklahoma, Inc., the board of directors would want to fire somebody because of the condition of our business, and the shareholders would be livid if this was a business. Well, the shareholders, i.e. citizens, are upset, and they should be. And as Lieutenant Governor, I've had a front row seat to this frustration. I'm passionate. I want to be a change agent, speak truth to power, be the proven leader I have been in the past, and change Oklahoma for the positive.
You realize if you come up with a written plan that that's going to be published someplace and somebody's going to pull it out and said, here's what you said to do. I mean, we're not quoting Todd Lamb on a K-1 soundbite you said 4 years ago.
Right.
You're going to see it in black and white.
And it's important. That's right. It's important to have that detailed plan and have accountability. It's also important for the governor to establish that vision. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Another version says, where there is no vision, that people will be scattered. We've got to have a vision. It's incumbent upon us. So I'm not afraid of a detailed written plan, but so the governor should cast that vision and that agenda, but also hold the legislators accountable in enacting that vision and moving Oklahoma forward.
Well, if you got a written plan, you can take it with you when you address the state legislature and shake it at them too.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break, continue our time with candidate for governor and current Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church's focus on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our time on a Community Connection 1400 K1 93.3 FM, talking with current Lieutenant Governor and candidate for Oklahoma Governor Todd Lamb. Todd, every time you and I have talked every month on your call-in, somewhere along the line you refer to at least one of these two gentlemen that are in the studio with you this morning, either the John Ford bed and breakfast or your relationship with John Ford from your time in the State Senate, or some relationship to either Earl Sears Park or the director of the budget and committee in the House. So it's a good relationship, apparently, with these two men.
I love them both. I admire them both. I thank the listeners and the citizens that have voted for them. It's been an honor, pleasure to get to know them personally. You know, we have a lot of fun and we smile. That's why I talk about the bed and breakfast. That's why I talk about the park. You know, levity's okay, yeah, but there are moments of seriousness, and there should be when you're serving the people. I mean, that's your serious business. So serving with John Ford in the State Senate, a man of conviction, a man of great respect, a man who commanded respect, not by word, but by deed, and somebody who was very committed to improving the lives of Oklahomans all across Oklahoma, not just the district of Bartlesville, which he represented in the State Senate district, but all across Oklahoma. Somebody who's very concerned about vision and passion. So I think the world of John Ford, and I know he, particularly Mary Ford, are ecstatic and thrilled for term limits. But he's a reason to argue against term limits, because he served at a sincere heart and a servant's heart. Earl Sears, I'm so glad that Earl's still in the House and the legislature. Earl and I spent a lot of time together when we can during the legislative session, and something that I've talked a lot about on the campaign trail for Governor Charlie is the fact that, you know, this past session, a lot of folks were panicked about the less revenue that was coming in. Mm-hmm. So Earl said, hey, Todd, I want to come by the office and show you some things. And I carry this information around with me now everywhere I go. It's close to my person somewhere. Oklahoma right now is pushing out the door anywhere between $6.3 to $6.7 billion in sales tax exemptions alone. Mm-hmm. You bring in all the credits, exemptions, and incentives together, the package is just under $10 billion. So I've said many times, Oklahoma does not have a revenue problem. Oklahoma has a management problem. And as we talk about the budget, priorities, where money should be spent, where money could be saved, I talk to Earl Sears often and frequently and pick his brain. I was driving back from Woodward to Oklahoma City a couple weeks ago, and an issue came up. I called Earl Sears. I said, hey, brother, representative, let's talk about this issue. He sent me an email immediately, and I respect Earl's commitment also, because it'd be easy for Earl Sears and John Ford to say, I served. I served. I've been on boards. I've served the school. I've given back. I'm done. They served in their own capacities in the legislature, and I admire them both.
Well, and of course, Earl gave city council service before he ever picked up this other elected official. You got one more year, don't you, Earl?
Thank God.
There's a country song somewhere along there, but we're going to leave that alone for a moment or so.
It's about vision and ideas, Charlie, and about not just wanting to serve or get a title, but being a change agent, rejecting the status quo, speaking truth to power, standing firm. And again, it's not just rhetoric with me. I've been a proven conservative leader, whether it's the Secret Service standing firm on foreign soil, state Senate speaking truth to power to a Democrat governor, as lieutenant governor, speaking truth to power to a Republican governor, and doing what's right for the citizens of Oklahoma.
Your focus primarily, as I see it, has been small business in Oklahoma.
Yes.
You're talking to small business leaders. You've been doing that since you took office. Lessons learned from that. Is that part of what you would like
it's
to implement?
It's the small business, backbone of Oklahoma's economy. Now, there's some tall buildings around Bartlesville, tall buildings around Tulsa and Oklahoma City. My hometown of Enid, where I was born and raised, you got some, decent-sized buildings. But small business, that's where it's at. That's the backbone of Oklahoma's economy. And as I said already, that's the lion's share of our employer base all across the state. So what's good for small business is very good for Oklahoma. And that represents agriculture, oil and gas, telecommunications, medicine, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been an honor, privilege to be the small business advocate, but I've learned so much as I travel to all of Oklahoma's 77 counties every year. I talk to not just folks, but I talk to small business owners and educators and ask them, what are your challenges as a small business operator? As a startup company, what are your challenges? How do we address those challenges if it's related to state policy? So my goal as lieutenant governor is to have that organic growth, grow our economy, have some economic diversity, make sure our schools are strong so they can start their own business, so they can work somewhere and don't have to leave Oklahoma to find a job in Texas, heaven forbid, or Arkansas or Missouri either, or Kansas.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I was at a recent education forum here with the area superintendents, and they obviously, because we are closest to the Kansas line, talked about, teacher leakage to the state of Kansas. It's a problem in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and we got to address it with teacher pay. You got to address it with teacher pay, but in addition to additional funding inside the classroom, we have to make sure that young men and women, these kids, before they get out of the third grade, they must be able to read at the third grade level. Before they get out of the third grade, they must be able to do third grade math and hold the system accountable and really demand some reforms in addition to prioritize spending inside the classroom. Extremely important.
You've got a community forum coming up this afternoon, Tri-County Tech. You've already done some of these town halls and and forums, and certainly as Lieutenant Governor, you've been answering these questions for about 7 years. What is the toughest question that people bring to you right now?
Well, the most frequent question is talking about the budget, and I kind of alluded to that, addressed it a little bit moments ago, what they talk about, well, last year the legislative session had X amount less than the previous year, and what I've talked about, I'll remind the listeners what I just said. I talk about my conversation with Earl Sears, and I have the list of all the sales tax exemptions on the books right now, all the credits and exemptions and incentives we have on the books right now. It's not an issue with money. It's an issue with management. So I hear that quite a bit, but also hear a lot about education. Mm-hmm. I hear about it from my wife, who's the classroom teacher, but also from educators I talk to all across the state. I've been in Wagner this week, Tulsa this week, Perry this week, Enid this week, Bartlesville. I'll be in Cashin tonight, UConn later today. So I'm traveling the state, listening, learning, and letting folks know I'll be a strong, proven leader standing firm for the citizens of Oklahoma.
You've got a website out there that is for your campaign, and I know you're kind of having to split time between, duties of the office
right,
today.
Sure. I was at the Capitol yesterday on official duties and responsibilities with the Board of Equalization.
Yeah,
right.
And by the same token, you're getting information out on your VoteToddLamb.com website.
Charlie, we had a team of millennials get together, and I bought them a large pizza. I said, give us a really creative domain name for the website, mm-hmm. VoteToddLamb.com. I mean, that was worth the large pizza, wasn't it? I mean, it's a very creative domain name.
An extremely large pizza, something, I don't know, if you can find a 24 or 36 inch pizza, probably would have been worth that toppings.
Yeah, so creative. But there's a portal there that folks can send me an email, send my campaign manager an email.
You can go downtown Bartlesville to Hideaway, I'm sure they'd get one for you.
Well, that's good to know. Our phone number's on there. But shoot me an email. We're on Twitter also, Todd G. Lamb. We're on Facebook, Oklahomans for Lamb. Shoot me an email, shoot me a comment, and we'll be happy to engage and have that discussion or set up a time to visit a community or come back to Bartlesville. Yeah, I love coming to Bartlesville. I've told this story before. I came here so many times. I kept telling my wife about Bartlesville, mm-hmm. and when she finally got to make a trip with me to Bartlesville and go out to Willow Rock and spend time here in the community, we were leaving town, and she said, "Now I know what you mean. Special people, very special community, civic pride, community pride, can-do spirit. This community and your listeners personify what it is to be an Oklahoman."
Well, thank you very much for your time. I know you're going to be at the RVEST Forum at 10, and again, you'll be at Tri-County Tech this afternoon.
Right.
People can walk up, ask their questions, and get a straight answer, look you right in the eye, and hear what you have to say.
That's right. I look forward to it. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Todd Lamb with us this morning on AM 1400 K1 News from the Oklahoma News Network.
Charged with attempting to blow up a bank in downtown Oklahoma City. An Enid woman charged with pretending her four-year-old daughter had cancer.